Hello and welcome back to The Last Action Critics with your hosts Ian, Nora, and Uncle Welle. We are doing Roadhouse 2024's Roadhouse Episode 12, Season 4. We're going to dog down on this one.
Not to be confused with Roadhouse that we already recorded in Season 2. Which, go check it out.
Check it out.
I didn't finish listening to that episode.
That's all right.
It's all good.
I tried months ago.
It's all good. We're going to... We'll,
that's a ringing endorsement.
We'll give you a little recap throughout this one. We got some things
to say. Did you rewatch the original?
I watched the old one and then I watched the new one in that order.
As did I. Not in that order.
I know.
No. Well, I did in that order because I watched the new one, then the old one, then the new one again.
What? I watched the old one, then the new one. Then the new one.
Nice. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
What'd you do?
I watched the new one with you.
Right.
Then we watched the old one after that. Then I watched the new one again.
Good. So we all did it.
We've all done it.
We've all done it. We've all done it. Good job, us.
But technically, we watched the old one for that last season two episode.
We did. So we did watch that.
That was all in order. We've done them twice in order.
Can I just say an interesting thing?
That doesn't count, really, but I get it.
It doesn't count. I mean, if we're doing that, I once saw original Roadhouse, and then I saw the new one. So if we're going by your logic,
we've all done it
in chronological order.
We all did it correctly. But there's no way to avoid doing it in chronological order, really, if you've seen the original before.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want to say... when we did the original Roadhouse, that was my father's favorite guilty pleasure. And it's fun that this movie just came out as my father's death-iversary.
Death-iversary.
Yeah, death-iversary.
I call it Death Day.
Death Day.
Death Day.
It's like a birthday, but a death day.
Right.
Was, as we record this 2 days ago, it was a nice full circle moment for me.
Oh, nice.
As well as one of my core memories with my father is accidentally jumping on him right after he got his vasectomy.
Ooh.
Yeah, bad.
Did he lift with his knees at least?
I hope so. But anyway, I also just got a vasectomy.
Nice.
A week ago as of this recording.
Oh my god.
A week ago
we were in that room.
We were high five.
Again, wait, you were in the room with
him? Nah, I was in the other room. But we were both went into the room together
sure. Yeah.
I brought him to his vasectomy. Yeah.
I just want to say
I'm a part of big pieces of his life. Know that.
The Last Action Critics public service announcement. If you're a dude, get a vasectomy.
Do it. Get it already.
Do it. Be done with it. It doesn't ruin anything. It just means you don't procreate. And that's the worst part of sex.
You have two kids. Just remember.
I have two kids. And no, I know.
And he doesn't want either one of them. he's done with
it. I love my children. I don't want any more.
Yeah.
Ever again. So I just want to say thanks to you guys for really supporting me through my vasectomy journey.
You are so welcome.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're welcome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I did a lot of Google research.
You did.
For no reason whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Yeah, yeah. Except that you love Google research. Yeah.
Let's talk about our first thoughts.
Yeah.
Ian, I feel like you've already kind of dabbled in your first thoughts.
Yeah. I'll just end it with, dumb as this fucking movie is, I'm on board. I am on board. With like 50% of the movie.
Oh, That's a real large percentage of not on board.
Maybe 75%. I'll get into it more later, but it felt like two different movies. There's like the love story, which should have been cut out, and then there's just the him fighting, and that was fine. You know. But anyway, I enjoyed it. It's fun.
This is a popcorn movie. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's bad. It definitely has some charm in there. I'm not sure why it was made.
I think a really valid question. Why was this made?
I don't think I understand. Like, I appreciate that they tried to reimagine Roadhouse in a way. I just don't think it works because all of the elements that make Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse like such a cult classic, they did not include in this movie. Yeah. So, like, if this
by that you mean boobs, right?
That's on my list.
It's on your list. I know it is.
It is.
Gyllenhaal really worked hard to get Pain Don't Hurt in there, and they took it away from him.
Yeah.
Well, but they got that be good or whatever in the last fight scene. He says it to Conor McGregor. What is it? What is Swayze's whole thing? Be nice. Be nice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Always
be good nice. Is whatever bullshit you say to me constantly.
Yeah. hey, be good. It's just like bullshit. It's like my see you later. Like, hey, be good, you know?
Be good. Throw up the peace sign with
him. Yeah, be well, be good. Don't do dumb stuff while I'm gone.
Don't do dumb stuff.
Okay, so from my list of things missing, where are the tits?
Right.
There were.
Hey, yes, we saw him on a balcony.
Yeah, we saw him on a balcony, yeah, followed by McGregor's butt. And I'm sure if you pause and zoom in, you can get some balls.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants McGregor balls.
Nobody's looking to
pause. I didn't need
and zoom
his ass twice in this movie.
Yeah.
Was it in it a second time?
At yes. the end.
Oh, at the post-credit scene. Yeah.
Lacking a Sam Elliott character, which we can, you know, talk about more. There's no, like, crazy flips. There's no throat stuff. There's no...
there's no throat stuff.
I fuck like guys like you in prison. That like, was a great line. All of these weird things that made original Roadhouse so batshit crazy are, like, not in this movie. And I feel like if this was not called Roadhouse and it was just its own thing and tried to stray a little bit from the original, then this would just be a pretty enjoyable popcorn movie.
They probably should call it The Roadhouse.
Probably.
Right? Wouldn't that have made more sense? Because he works at The Roadhouse.
Yeah. No.
What's it called? Is it just called Road?
The Roadhouse.
The Roadhouse. Hilarious joke. Oh, it hits way better with the boat, though.
Anyways.
That joke worked for me. I'm not going to lie.
Of course it did.
So
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why this movie is made. But
boat.
I love that you're still on it.
Oh, I laughed when I watched it the second time too.
How dare you?
Anyways, those are my first thoughts. I don't really know why I was made. I think it was fine, and I was entertained. I suppose.
There you go.
Yeah, I would agree with you. This is a movie nobody asked for. This is a movie nobody needed. We didn't need Roadhouse 2. We did, you know, like
one day we will see it. I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna find it.
It's hard to find.
It is. Nobody gives up their copy.
I know.
To Goodwill. It
either it's so bad or it's so good.
So good.
This movie, yeah. My first thoughts are: this movie is easy. It's enjoyable. I watched it twice. I watched it this morning just to kind of have it fresh in my head. And it's dumb. It's dumb. Truly a stupid movie. If you're into that and you want to just watch something, this is for sure High Sunday stuff.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You just, I want to turn my brain off and watch something kind of stupid, but also kind of enjoyable. Yeah, great. I think some of the fight choreography was fun. Mm-hmm. I think some of the camera work they did with the fights was fun. Some of it went across the line and became dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a McGregor POV or a Gyllenhaal POV of McGregor. Either way, yeah. I mean, the original Roadhouse is a beloved movie by me, certainly, and by many. And I'm glad they didn't try and bite too much off of that apple.
Agreed.
Because I think that would have been a bad decision. So I think ultimately they did the best they could, giving homage to the old Roadhouse while also making their own movie a little bit. I agree with Nora. They could have given us a little bit more of some of that kind of fun, but some of that fun is also just it works because it was the 90s. You know what I mean? Like
no, totally.
Some of those jokes are
that's why I don't
you because 80s. You can't have them in here because it just doesn't work in this day.
Which
and
is
age.
Why this movie shouldn't have been made.
Right? No, I can agree with you on that. I mean, again, like I think if you'd just done this same movie and just made it a Western, it would have been better.
Okay, Charlie. Calm down.
The double X. It's like a Western plot.
Hated that character.
Well, it's more like a detective Western.
Shut up. Take your bat and go home.
This is a little girl?
Yeah, little girl.
Yeah, once again,
hates child actors.
Once again.
I mean, she was... Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there.
It's just
there.
It's just the amount of vitriol you
all
have
right,
for
let's
them.
Real quick. What's everybody been watching?
Like, nobody thought she was good, but nobody's going to go ape on her.
I'm just saying. She's unnecessary. Anyway.
How dare she have lines that she says that someone else wrote for her?
Did they? Or was it poorly improvised? There's a lot of bad improvisation.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. That girl's not improvising. It's a Western plot and reading the back of a book.
Completely improvised.
Yeah.
She made up what was on the back of that book.
Yeah, she did. All right. Let's jump into what you've been watching.
Yeah.
Nora, go first.
I've been watching The Ones Who Live, the Walking Dead spinoff.
Did you finish or are you caught up on The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I've watched it all.
Okay.
And there's only one episode left of this spinoff, and the last one was a banger. So that inspired me to go back and rewatch all of The Walking Dead.
That means
Dead.
You had to sit through Carl again.
I don't fucking ever talk about Carl.
I fucking hated Carl.
We know.
Oh, he's a child
actor.
What a shock.
I hope that your kids grow up to be child actors.
They won't. They won't. And I'll tell you why when I tell you what I've been watching.
Yeah, no, I've also watched that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the Quiet Nickelodeon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quiet on set.
Yeah, I
watched. Did you talk about this last time?
You did.
Parts 1 and 2, but not parts 3 and 4.
Anyways.
The explosive third episode. Sorry. Yeah.
Diuretic.
Because of the last episode of The Ones Who Live, which shows like a pretty big like moment between Michonne and Rick, I decided like, hey, I want to see like how this relationship actually developed over the course of the last like 10 to 13, 14 years that the show has been on. So I started rewatching it in the last 3 days. I've watched 3 seasons. So I'm cranking through. I also am kind of dabbling in the Daryl Dixon one because the second season of that with Carol is coming up. I have not watched the Negan Maggie one.
Dark City or something like that.
Dead City. I think it's Dead City. Yeah. I don't know. But
so many.
You know,
there's a bunch of spin-offs.
Andrew.
Those people need to work.
Andrew John Clutterbuck. And
do you know that Andrew Lincoln's real name, last name is Clutterbuck?
I did not. That's amazing.
Ugh, I wish you'd gone by Clutterbuck.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Wow, what a great last name, Clutterbuck.
Well, him and Danai, right?
Yeah.
Their collaboration on like getting this spinoff made is coming through, and I think it's like actually pretty good television considering how much The Walking Dead has gone off the rails at times. This spinoff is doing a pretty good job. I'm invested again in these characters. And so I'm rewatching all of that.
Nice. I watched an absolute bag full of movies yesterday. Just like, you pack your suitcase, bring an extra carry-on. I just went ham on some movies.
You flew to Asia.
I'm just going to list all the movies I've watched recently. Mayhem. Which,
again?
I've never seen it.
Different Mayhem.
The one with Steven Yeun and Samara Weaving.
Got it.
With the red eye infection that makes you unable to control your impulses and whatnot. Fun. Real popcorn fun, though.
Yeah.
You know, not amazing. Enjoyed it. Anyone But You I watched, which is the Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
I don't know that Sydney was a good cast for this one. Glenn Powell is...
I think it was like her...
A delight.
She pushed it. That was her like movie.
She was not terribly good in it. It had all the right pieces, and it just didn't quite hit. If that makes sense. You're like, yeah, you have all the moments, you've built in some funny, just too much that needs work here for us to like get into it. But To All the Boys I've Loved Before, watch that. Okay. That's a Nora Rex. The rest of these are Nora Rex pretty much. That movie is kind of adorable. I don't know how they made 2 more, but they did. I watched Risk Cutters, went back and watched Risk Cutters.
Love it.
Is that a love story, that one?
It is, actually.
It's called Risk Cutters, a love story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never seen it. Is it good?
No.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
Okay. It's all right.
It's early 2000s indie charm.
Yeah, right.
I think it's adorable. Yeah. It's got Shannon Sossman.
I love her.
I love her.
The Suss.
I'm not a Suss fan. You know, like I like Shea Whigham. I like John Hawkes. Tom Waits is in it. I mean, it's got a
great old man cast.
It's got a great cast in it. You know, Will Arnett is in it.
Yeah.
Leslie Bibb's in it.
It's, Patrick Fugit is the main.
Yeah, that guy nobody cares about.
He was almost famous.
Wow.
Because it's true, too. All right. We won't get into that. It wasn't for me, I think. Although it had some charm and had some fun. Practical Magic, I watched that. That movie is awesome.
Is it?
Yes.
Kidding me? SB?
Yes.
Am I kidmining you?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, thank you. I'm feeling it today. Don't give me that face.
You think you're kidman in Practical Magic?
No, I said
kidding.
Oh, just bad jokes. Got it.
Yeah,
Move on.
I mean.
Great jokes, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's why I'm looking over here now.
Yeah.
Don't look over here.
I'll see you laughing at me. But if I look at Will, it's clearly laughing with me.
Of course. Of course it is. No, I love the kidding me jokes. I can't even say it. Stop. Get out of my head. Get out of my head.
Nora, don't bullocky me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Nice. That's 2 for 2.
2 for 2.
If you knew anybody else in the cast. You know?
I don't know who else is in the cast, so oops.
I could Aiden some of those Quinstions for you.
Yeah.
Shout out to my best friend, Allie, if you are listening. I would do anything to be back on your couch watching Practical Magic like we do. I love
Wait,
you.
Wait, do you guys think of yourself as Bullock and Kidman in those? Because they have that kind of bond that's like across time and across space.
We've talked about it.
I gotta watch this movie.
Dude, this movie's awesome.
Time and space. I thought it was about like cooking or something.
Jesus, guy.
Not even close.
No, is there one with witches and cooking?
There probably is.
Simply Irresistible with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, yeah. There we go. I have seen that.
Different movie.
Way different movie.
Okay, all right.
Anyway. Practical Magic, if you want to go back, it's still a banger. Ready or Not, Samara Weaving.
Great movie.
Enjoyed it.
So much fun.
Enjoyed it. Yeah.
That's a Nora Rec, right?
Yeah.
Nice. And that's what I've been watching. So I went through that pretty quick, All Things Considered.
All Things Considered.
I was recently listening to All Things Considered.
Really?
On the radio. Huh? No. NPR jokes don't fly here. I get it. Yeah. So I finished Quiet on Set, the second two parts. That's why my child will never be a... In Hollywood, yeah. I am now on season two of Halo. Popcorn. Easy. Not great, but fine. Constellation last episode airs as we record this, and I am very excited.
Nice.
Constellation has been solid.
Nice.
And that's, you know, about it.
Yeah. Halo, keep the helmets on is what you were saying?
They should keep the helmets on, yeah.
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 Feel that.
But whatever, you know, it's season two, it's fine. Anyway. So we've been watching. I guess we should talk about our movie.
We should get into it.
Before we jump into the movie, though, remember, we did do an episode on Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, so you should check it out. All right, are you guys ready to dive into this?
Yeah.
Are you ready to Roadhouse?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's
are you ready to get on our motorcycle?
Roadhouse.
Let's get it.
That was me getting excited.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Here we go. Roadhouse. Take it outside. Ex-UFC fighter Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse, only to discover that this paradise is not all it seems. It's rated R, 121 minutes, directed by Doug Liman, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Daniela Melchior, Conor McGregor, Billy Magnuson, Jessica Williams, Hannah Love Lanier, Joaquin de Almeida, BK Cannon, JD Pardo, Arturo Castro, Lucas Cage, Post Malone, and some other talented people. Are in that mix as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Post Malone didn't go by Post Malone, though.
That's true. He went by Austin Post, a.k.a. Don't need him in this movie.
Wow.
Zing.
Got him hard.
Whoa. All right. You ready for 30 on the board?
Yeah, I feel good.
And begin.
This is a movie about a man who has psychopathic tendencies and is really trying not to dive into them throughout his life. But he does like to fight, so he wants to get close to them, but he doesn't want to go over the edge. Because when he loses it, he's a bit like the Hulk. You won't like him when he's angry. So this movie is about him really testing his limits and seeing if he can use his psychopath for good.
Or time. We're never going to know.
Dot, dot, dot.
We're never going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a psycho.
He's a sociopath.
He's a full-on psycho.
Dude loves killing.
Dude, yeah. He's been like biting his killing instinct for a while, swallowing it, and it makes him depressed.
It does. So then he kills.
So then he goes, then he's like,
puts a guy in an ice chest.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the logic behind all of that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this story is
insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell him how it works.
This is how it works. If you haven't been here before, super easy. We rate everything 1 through 5. 1 is the worst. 5 is the absolute best. We got 5 categories. That's story, acting, directing, action, and...
Gut.
All right. Let's get into story first. I am going to pick somebody to do story, and it's going to be Ian.
Great.
Nice.
Love it. Thank you. So the story, I gave the story a 1.5.
Generous.
Thank you. The reason I sort of went up to the 0.5, it has a couple fun lines. It has a couple jokes that pay off, sort of the crocodile joke, the boat, paid off.
debatable.
I mean, I thought it paid off. You know, and I feel like a lot of that, some of the lines and stuff, was it script? Was it improvising. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's really bad in this movie. Like when he first gets to the roadhouse, like the bartender, she's awful. I'm sorry. I couldn't deal with the bartender. And I feel like every line she delivers is either poorly improvised or she's just not good at delivering lines. And I felt like it was two movies. I feel like you have the roadhouse story where he comes to defend this roadhouse, or to help with the roadhouse. But then they sort of like shove in the whole doctor thing. I felt like none of that. We could have taken the entire doctor character out of this film and it would not really have affected the rest of the story. The only time it really plays into it is because her father is the cop. That's the only moment that it's like, oh, that's, and then she gets kidnapped. But you could have done the kidnapping with the kid, and, you know, the cop didn't need to, you know, the daughter didn't need to be. You could have had.
So you're saying we should give more screen time to the kid?
No. I mean, well, if she's kidnapped, you don't see her, you know what I mean? So yeah. He just rescues her. Look, whether or not I like the kid, I get why you have the kid character. She's the reason that he stays because the bookshop gets burned down. I get that. You need that sort of inciting incident to keep him there. Not inciting, it's not inciting. Yeah, incidents have already been incited at this point. Yeah. You need that moment for him to be like, okay, I'm not going to leave. I get that. That's fine. But the doctor at no point in this film, like, he doesn't stay with her. Other than the relationship with the cop, which you could have just put onto Jessica Williams' character if you really want to, or the kid. I don't know. You just didn't need her. And her introduction is also weird when she's like, thanks for giving us all this extra work. And it's like, you guys weren't busy.
Yeah, and it was like four dudes.
Four dudes. You're fine. You're just whining.
And he
now.
Diagnosed most of them for
he
you.
He did. You just need
He's
to patch
like,
him up.
He did it.
There's not a lot going on here.
The guy knows a lot about the body.
Yeah, well, he breaks a lot of bones, you know?
Well, she was horny for him.
Well, clearly she was horny, but it was just
she
like,
went out to get mad and fucked.
Yeah. Well, that happened. What, did they even
no,
fuck?
They
yeah,
did.
They just
they
went on a
date.
They made
they
out
kissed.
A little bit. I don't know where
and
you're going to fuck
Hall
in the water.
Yeah. After the kiss, they're just weird.
You could have had a real fun, like, 45-50 minute movie, you know, just a little short film about a bouncer. But instead, we have a 2-hour movie.
I don't think she's the problem with this movie.
I'm not saying she is the problem.
She's just a part of it.
She's a big part of it. That piece of the story just felt kind of shoehorned into, like, oh, we should also have a love story that doesn't pay off, you know. And so,
I guess my point,
I don't
is,
think it would have been a higher.
If Jake Gyllenhaal, alpha male stud, walks into town, someone's trying to bang on that. We should probably write that in.
Jessica That's Williams' character. Boom. Problem solved.
Been a character with some nice titties.
It would have been, I can't disagree with that. Everyone likes nice boobs, but yeah.
Well, who
we
would like to
show.
Go next on story?
I'll go. Oh, I can go. Yeah. I mean, I have similar things written down in my notes. This movie, the dialogue all feels very chunky. And I like kept asking myself, like, is this does this have to do with acting? Is this like a directing problem, or is this script just bad? So I think I fell at a one for this story. I think like I've already mentioned, I think some of the charm of the batshit craziness that like makes the original Roadhouse work, this doesn't have. So like, by not having like a Sam Elliott best friend character, you're not really like grounding me in anything that Jake Gyllenhaal does. Like, why does, like, do we ever find out why he killed his UFC fighter friend?
Nope. I literally think that they're, because I tried to read up on it and figure out what the reasoning was. And the one article I read that was a Screen Rant article, and they were saying that just that he's, if he gets pushed too far and you make him too mad, he loses his like control.
Yeah.
And he killed him by accident. So that's why he's feeling guilty, but he just lost control. But yeah, I mean, he's like depressed in one, and then like next time they bring it up and they show him the video and he's like smiling at the end and you're like,
well, I think that was more of a you can't mess with me smile.
Just seemed creepy.
I feel like, it, to Ian's point about like two different movies being in here, is that it felt like you were trying to take some of the charm of the original Roadhouse and mix it in with this new original story, and it just didn't quite work for me. In like, I don't know, you know, I don't like when people order neat vodka in movies. It's a trope that happens a lot, but like, yeah, like, it's like a thing. And as a person who's a bartender, if somebody comes into a bar and orders, like, can I get a vodka neat? In my head, it's like, what's wrong with
you? Is that what the villain drank in the first one?
I can't remember. Probably.
Because I was going to say that would make sense if that were a...
It's a real villain drink.
It's maybe a villain drink, but it just seems like a stupid trope that gets used of like, ooh, I'm going to come in and I'm going to drink some warm vodka and it shows I'm a hard ass. Like, I don't... Whenever that trope happens, it's just kind of like a... If somebody's coming into a bar and ordering a vodka neat from me, which took entirely too long for them to pour, because it's just...
She's a terrible bartender.
Vodka in a glass.
Because yeah. She's a terrible bartender.
It just felt like... This is trying too hard. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't like the jump of just because the little girl and her dad may or may not have been injured in some way in that fire, that like now he's suddenly just goes into like full blown cold-blooded killer mode. Like,
it literally kills him.
Like it didn't any, and the way that Jake Gyllenhaal, like the character is written is, It's just weird. Like, okay, he's like going through all of his like dialogue about don't get me too angry, don't do these things, but he's doing it in such like a kind of goofy, awkward that like he truly seems unhinged.
Which may have been the point though.
But I don't know. It's a simple movie. The story's stupid. It carries through though. Like the pacing's not terrible. It just like feels like chunks of it are unnecessary. Yeah. And I agree with you. Like I don't think the love interest was necessary at all. And my last point about the story that I have is that did they also clarify that like Frankie's bar had insurance? Did that ever get talked about?
No.
Because that felt like the biggest plot hole to me is like he gets hired to work for this roadhouse. The ship goes through it. A truck goes through it. They demolish this bar. This is what he was hired to do. And at the end, instead of like even like giving a portion of that money for her to like maybe reimagine and like bring some spirit to like her dream of the roadhouse, he just gives it all to like the shitty little bookstore in town.
Well, she also just deceived the shit out of him and put him in a really bad position. You know what I mean? She essentially was like, hey, come out here and be a bouncer, quote unquote. So, you know, someone will look at you and try and kill you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not giving that lady money. You know, I'm burning her place down at the end.
Maybe the bookstore invested in
it. I just feel like whatever, all of that wasn't developed.
No,
in one way, like, no.
I mean, money goes to the bookstore for me 110%. You know, they're just innocent victims and all this. She had a hand in stirring this plot a little bit. That's all. It's just a minor point.
Well, and what are your thoughts on the story then?
I don't want to repeat what you guys said because you guys all made fantastic points about what happened there. I don't know that they sold me on his depression well enough in the beginning for me to really care. Yeah, I also had the same note about the ER, you know what I mean? Like four people coming in and she's still got plenty of time to treat him just on a whim. Like, well, come on in. I'll treat you. And you're like, what is happening there? The roadhouse joke. Nobody could just say it's a roadhouse called the Roadhouse. Yeah. And we had to go into this Abbott and Costello like junk.
It was trash.
Yeah.
But once you get to the boat, it pays off.
I did enjoy the Martin Luther King is her uncle joke. That was cute. Then there was a bunch of, I mean, the metaphor with the conch analogy / metaphor was really stupid and schlocky. I love that this is just, well, they should have just called this movie Bully Island because it's just a bunch of people bullying each other. I mean, even the guys on the jet skis who are bullying the like wakeboard or the paddleboard guy, you're like, this is just like a mean island. Like, poor spirited.
I mean, he does say he does aggressive. Seems very aggressive on this island.
Also, like, just coming from being a bouncer, like, I think maybe if you just had a guy at the door patting people down, you wouldn't have knives in your bar.
No.
That seems like a real basic moment.
Maybe you just had an actual
maybe
bouncer.
Stop going to like bare knuckle fights and just hiring somebody who can maybe throw a punch and actually just hire a bouncer.
Hire somebody with a guard card.
Or like six dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which that's another thing that's missing from this is like at least in the first team. Roadhouse, he is like transforming people into like, hey, we're gonna protect this bar, this is how you do it, I'm a cooler, I'm gonna teach you how to keep things calm, which is I think the core of the movie with all this other crazy shit put in. But if you don't have this and you like he has two guys that like suck at being bartender, boat salesman, whatever they are, and like now they kind of get in there, that's what's missing is like it has nothing really to do about the roadhouse.
I mean, I fully agree. There's a piece of this, and I'm glad they didn't make him some, like, bouncer guru, because he's not. He's a UFC fighter, and so it makes sense that he doesn't necessarily know, but it doesn't make sense that she wouldn't look for someone slightly more qualified who has done this before to like actually do this.
Apparently, maybe she had a hot tip on Post Malone.
And apparently, she had like several guys leave on her because the girl.
Again, they were all like fighters, though.
Did one guy get eaten by the croc, maybe?
No, that was just
the dog did, but I thought maybe one of the guys.
No. The joke that really hits for me is they call me Big Dick.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to call you that. Yeah. But people do call him Big Dick throughout the movie. Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of this where you're just like, why is Jake Gyllenhaal letting Conor McGregor just tear this bar apart before he actually, you know, I love that just in your kind of 80s and 90s feel, I love that like as soon as a fight happens, someone goes, bar fight!
That was such
and
a
fantastic. And then just turns around and punches a dude. Yeah. And people are just like, oh, hell yeah.
That was fantastic.
And I'm like, this is Bully Island. Of course it Bully goes down Island. Like that. You know, you've set that up. You did good there. Also, like, why when he goes to take out the sheriff who's got the money, does he not just knock the sheriff out, shoot the guy who's been in the ice chest, put him on the boat, send the boat out with the guy on it, and then take the money?
Because the short-term memory joke had to be played out. And it was
the sheriff wouldn't have remembered him because he would have been knocked out immediately. The guy on the boat with the sheriff's gun shooting him in the chest would have been a little bit more of like a, oh, what happened here? Because the boat's been out there for a while, so maybe they can't, you know, I mean, just like.
Oh, that short-term memory joke was awesome. That's why.
It was terrible.
I loved it.
It was so
loved it.
And a lot of repeat dialogue. They like have a joke like the like lift with your knees and then the guy bouncer's coming back in like remember to lift with your knees right.
He's learning.
That's not even a saying. You don't say lift with your knees
when you're lifting. You do.
No, you say lift with your legs.
Yeah,
it's lift with your legs, not your back. Either way. Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of bad stuff in here. I didn't care about the love interest. It gets forgotten about, so whatever. I think they were really unclear with why he felt so guilty about killing his friend. And if this is the guy you consider a friend, like something made you angry because you slap him at the weigh-in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Didn't like, seem like friends.
They didn't seem like friends for a while. And that, you know, like he must have done something. Fill us in on that, at least. Give us some reason. And maybe you want him to walk that villain line, and that's fine. Oh, one guy who was fun was the guy who was just along, wants to be part of the biker crew.
Arturo.
Arturo. Oh, he stole every scene he was in. Every scene.
And that should lead us into acting.
It does. Yes, it should. Wait, what was your numerical?
Oh, one. Oh, okay. This is a one story. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's a trash story. And the jokes aren't good enough to bring it up.
To a 1.
The dialogue 5? Isn't good enough to bring it up, even to a 1.5. Acting.
You want to start with that? You want to start with that?
You'll start.
I'll start. I think I'm somewhere between a 1.5 and a 2, but I'm gonna
1.75?
Not doing that. This will never work on me.
That's literally between a 1.5 and a 2.
I'm going to decide as I talk.
Comfortably.
I'm going to finish. All right. I'm going to finish this. Like we're talking about, that guy, Arturo Castro, steals this movie. Mm. When he's carrying the body out and he goes, oh, fuck, okay. And then starts like ranting to him.
Looks heavy. Good on you.
Yeah, like hilarious. I think anytime he was in a scene, it was great.
Yeah.
And I do think some of Jake Gyllenhaal's like cringy, goofy, like sarcastic humor works for me in a way that I was surprised that I was enjoying it as much as I was. Everybody else in this movie is phoning it in. It's terrible. I mean, like the doctor's French dad, unbelievable. I mean, Billy Magnussen, I think, did a decent job.
Portuguese
of
dad. He's Brazilian.
Okay, well, I think of him from Only You with Robert Downey Jr.
He's actually from Portugal.
Is he from Portugal?
Yeah.
Oh, because he plays a Brazilian.
Yeah.
In my head, I was thinking.
He went to the Lisbon Conservatory of Acting. Get a clue, guys.
Again, sorry. Only You. Marissa Tomei, Robert Downey Jr. He plays like a
Frenchman.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm just mixing that up with French Kiss.
Desperado, he plays the bad guy, main bad guy in Desperado.
Anyways,
fantastic.
He's not doing anything. Jessica Whitman, what's her last name? Jessica Williams. Jessica Williams, doing great. I didn't believe a word that came out of her mouth. Every bit of her dialogue felt forced and clunky and like.
Is that the bar owner?
Yeah.
I didn't care for any of that. Like I was trying to say, I think Billy Magnussen does a decent job of kind of being the unhinged villain. And I feel like if the movie had leaned much harder into the batshit craziness of it, he would have been fine in there. None of the side characters really matter or I give a shit about. I thought Conor McGregor was atrocious. But at least he came knowing what the assignment was. Like, again, if this movie had been a little bit more leaning into that, maybe he wouldn't have taken me out of every scene he was in. But he just, like, anytime he was on screen, I was just like, who the fuck, what is happening here? Why am I looking at his ass again? I'm not sold either that Jake Gyllenhaal can fight him. And it all just, I don't, it just all felt really bad. So I'm going to land at 1.5.
Ian?
Yeah, I'm at a 2. I felt like, yeah, Gyllenhaal was in the scenes involving the Roadhouse and that aspect of the plot. I felt like he was playing this weird, fun, unhinged character. I felt like there was no chemistry with Daniela Melchior. I felt like that entire storyline was kind of this, it felt like he kind of checked out for a lot of that. The suicide attempt scene was just like, what the fuck is the point of this? The bartender was terrible. Charlie was not good. But Arturo Castro owned every scene he was in. His scene with Billy Magnussen was a delight. I thought Billy Magnussen, yeah, was not peak Billy Magnussen, but he was a lot of fun. And I felt with Conor McGregor, he wasn't good, but he was so just weird. And the energy he brought, like, I couldn't look away. It was a train wreck on screen in the best possible way. Like, the way that he walks, I don't know if that's just how he naturally walks.
Well, he's coked up.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And he just, every time he was on screen, I couldn't look away. And I can't necessarily say that was great acting, but it was in, it was interesting and engaging. And I don't know. It was fun. I say thumbs up to Conor McGregor in this film because it was insane and didn't make sense. And that worked for the character. Just completely unhinged. Does not make sense. Super fun. And then fucking Post Malone was garbage.
This movie, it kind of defies the laws of acting. And I don't know if it was trying to be avant-garde in its approach or if, I mean, this is a one acting. There's no, I mean, Gyllenhaal is doing his best, but he's just kind of being like, he's being an idea of a character. He's not being a character necessarily. You know, he has some moments where that are fun, but you expect that. Like, I expect those moments. Those are givens. Any half-assed decent actor will give you those moments. It's all the other ones that he misses that you're like, oh, okay, great. Boat dreams, let's get it. I didn't think Jessica Williams was so terrible. She's literally just there to give us exposition. And that was the problem with most of these characters, is most of their lines were just, okay, we need some exposition here. Give us a little exposition that explains what's going to happen next and how it's going to go. There's no, like, meaningful dialogue between people. There's no, like, let me understand you. Jessica Williams has one thing up in the office talking about her uncle and giving her motivation to keep this place despite why. But again, it's just exposition. No standout performances. Conor McGregor, while I agree there is something that was just like, I need to understand why you're in this movie, is what it felt like to me. But also, like, I'm also just fascinated that this is your first acting gig and you're taking it on and you're going, you know, you're just a dude in a student driver car with a seat full of coconuts. And, like, you got to make that work somehow. And I don't know why. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. Nobody told us why you're in the student driver car.
Nope.
But that speaks to the character that he is. He's just a loon.
He took a jacket and burned down a farmer's market.
I think he says it best after punching the heck out of Jake Gyllenhaal, like, something wrong with you, me too. And you're like, oh, okay, got it. This guy is the unhinged version of Jake Gyllenhaal, yeah. Right?
I just would have, like, if that was going to, like, actually work for me, I would have liked the movie to feel a little bit more unhinged at times. And, it felt like he was out of place.
Apparently they pursued him for quite a while for this.
Well, did you know that this was also supposed to be Ronda Rousey?
Yes, like years ago, right?
Like, originally when they were going to reboot this, it was like at the height of her career. It was supposed to be a lady fight movie.
Yeah.
Lady Roadhouse.
At least we would have gotten boobs.
Fight
in that,
lady,
right?
Fight.
We probably would have gotten boobs in that.
We wouldn't have gotten boobs.
Yes, we would have.
Ronda Rousey's not showing her boobs.
She's not, but other people are. Imagine the people.
You're so boob obsessed.
The audience that movie would have been for would have been a bunch of men that want to see a woman fighting, but they also want to see some titties.
But it would
have
been aimed at tough ladies.
Yeah.
No, it would not have. And we know this.
Tough ladies.
It would not have. And sometimes tough ladies also like titties. Like, yeah. You know.
Speaking of lack of titties, that really brings us to the directing.
I have a couple things.
You got a couple? I didn't know.
Just going down the list of people, Billy Magnussen, I thought was just a phone in. I don't think he did anything special in this movie. I don't think he was terribly interesting or funny or good. They set him up on the boat with the shaven guy, which again, that goes back to just people being like, oh, this is a ludicrous story. You know, like you can't make someone a bumbling idiot and also feel like there's some menace there, right? So there was kind of this, they played too much into that, and that will get into directing a little bit, but... And then, yeah, I mean, you know, Daniela Malenquire, you know, like, she's fine. Again, she doesn't have a part. Charlie doesn't have a part. Father doesn't have a part. This is, you know, the two bouncers, like, they get one line, two lines. Great. There's no real, nobody builds a relationship with anybody, really, beyond, like, a two-line relationship. And someone being like, yeah, I like you. It just doesn't work for me in the acting. Go. I'm done. I'm fucking done with this.
Well, why don't you keep going into directing?
1 o'clock. Directing? 1 o'clock. Directing was a... I'll give directing a two. Directing was a two only because I actually thought some of the stuff, some of the camera work and some of the stuff they did with the fights was fun. The fights look impactful. They look like people got, you know, hurt and beat up. They did a really good job with their fight choreography, I thought. I mean, while it's not super intricate, there is a lot of good fighting in it. I also enjoy that people really get hurt. You know what I mean? Like so many of these fights, you get martial artists and there's not a welt on their face at the end of like 4 hours of fighting. And you're like, bro, nobody takes punches like that and doesn't swell up and look silly. So, and granted, maybe that's not directing, but he had something to do with that. Where he loses is the rest of this movie doesn't make any sense. He doesn't know how to keep a good tone. Really, I'm rating him on the fun of the kind of like barroom fighting that was in here. Also, I would have enjoyed all of those Roadhouse bands. I enjoyed all
the
of bands the
Roadhouse
bands.
The music was great.
Yeah. So he gets a little bit for that. But yeah, I mean, maybe only a 1.5.
1.5?
A 1.5, yeah. It's really not well directed. It really doesn't look that good. Sorry,
I am in agreement with you. 1.5. I thought that the fights were fun, but they did this. They like developed a new, like the multi pass or something like that.
Yeah, we can talk about the four pass method when we get to action.
There you go. Yeah, but I felt like aspects of it worked, but others it just looked weird. There was a lot of weird looking, like when he gets hit by the car on the bridge, and he just sort of like pops up. And it was like, what is this? Yeah. And then there's this whole...
They do
like,
the same thing with the boat.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird action stuff. The opening fight with Post Malone felt fake. And I don't know if that's because of this four-pass thing. Or, yeah, it just...
It had a
we're
little,
not there with the technology
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, some kind of Uncanny Valley feel.
Yeah, and so a fair amount of the fights in this movie kind of had pieces of that. Then there was he pigeonholes in this weird mystery at one point where it's like, oh, is it drugs? We didn't need that. Like, it can just, like, if you look at the original, it's just a dude who wants to own a town. You know, this could just be, I want to build my thing. We don't need the, well, is it drugs? What's going on here? Oh, well, the boats can't make it in through there. It's unnecessary. There was just, he didn't know what kind of movie he wanted to make. And then he comes out saying it needs to be a theatrical film. Like, if I'd have seen this in theaters, I think I would have been a little more annoyed. Like this is a perfect Amazon Prime movie. It did not need to be. And I saw a review where somebody was like, when you see it in theaters, what? It's not any better than this. I don't need to see the original Roadhouse in theaters. Like these are not, these are movies meant to be seen on TBS at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's what this movie is. And I think he got a little full of himself because he invented a new camera style. Get the fuck out of here. It wasn't a well-directed film and it was a bad story and he didn't seem to understand its disjointedness. So, good job on putting together some fun fight scenes and casting a couple actors that know how to make good jokes, i.e. Arturo Castro. But, you know, otherwise, you know, we got Jake Gyllenhaal really in shape. So bravo. Nora?
Probably in agreement with you guys. I think a 1.5 does it justice. I think this director's, I tried to look at his filmography to try to get a feel because, this movie didn't really feel like anything to me. And he's got a weird career. He does Swingers.
Yeah.
And then he does Go, which I loved.
Yeah, I'll Go.
And then he does Born Identity.
That was his big,
Like, that. Those are, like, his three back-to-back. And then it's just, like, a string of weird movies. And then I guess the next highest-rated one he did was Edge of Tomorrow, which was kind of, for me, like
I
a...
Love
it.
Oh,
it
I
was,
love
it was
Tomorrow.
It was good.
Yeah.
But it just... I don't know.
Also an adaptation, though. His two best movies I guess if you look at like Bourne and Edge of Tomorrow are both adaptations
of books.
Of books, yeah. And I think, and so it's like, oh, he didn't have to write the script for those. Go is its own weird fun. I mean, if you Swingers and Go are both very 90s movies.
Yes.
And they're very of the time. And so I think Doug Liman is very, you know, he's a 90s guy as opposed to. And Bourne Identity certainly changed the game in acting.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like he thought he was doing that again here. And
it, yeah, I don't know. It like everything that you guys have said, this movie feels disjointed. It doesn't feel like it has a direction. Like, if this truly is a popcorn movie, if I was going to like actually enjoy this and watch it again, at least 40 minutes probably could have been cut out of this movie. And we didn't need, like you said, like everything that's been said, we didn't need a lot of these subplots. And I would have preferred if it was just a little bit more simplistic of like, he's just a bouncer, he's a cooler, he's in there, let's build some relationships, let's save a town. Like, it could have been a really good popcorn movie in that sense. And I do, I mean, I think there are occasional decent shots in this movie. But, like, let's be honest, the ADR in this movie is trash. If you, like, watching it.
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, it was so hard to watch it again this morning because there's just so much weird audio that, like, completely takes you out. If you're, like, really watching this movie, and I was high the first time, but this morning I was not, just really weird audio. This, whatever we're going to, this four-pass method that we're going to talk about, I think that, like, hats off to him for trying something new. I mean, we're always talking about like, are people doing innovative things, or like, what are they bringing new to the table? How are they changing the genre? What are they doing? I like, hats off for trying, but I think that this method of what he's doing is way too underdeveloped. And I think that they leaned a little bit too hard into the CGI that doesn't totally sell these fight scenes. Then it gets a little bit too off the rails.
I don't know if you want to dive into this four pass multi camera.
Oh yeah. I mean, the method that we keep hinting at or whatever is this, essentially taking like green screen pillows and they're shooting a fight sequence in four different camera angles with like superimposing the pillows for faces and then in editing going back in and splicing it all together.
So you get that physical feel.
So yeah, so you should be getting like the idea of like a face is actually getting punched. Like, it's supposed to bring some realistic elements to this. But I think because they lean so hard into this and the CG, like especially in that post Malone fight, It doesn't look real. It looks too like edited and too fake.
Uncanny Valley was a great term because it's just you can't quite put your finger on what's wrong, but you know it's wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You've just defined Uncanny Valley.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Fights in here that I enjoyed. I liked the Jake Gyllenhaal slapping the bikers fight. I thought that was very entertaining and it looked fun.
What was your score for action?
I haven't given it one yet. That's why I didn't want to go first. I felt like I was going first on everything.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll jump in. My score for action by Will Starr. Joke still works. Still works. All right. The 2.75? Nope. Okay. 2.5. I'll say 2.5 for the action because in the kind of classic 90s genre, which is what this is mimicking to some degree, you know, you have the big boat chase, you have the set pieces of action that are fun, you have a little bit of an explosion, you have a gator eating somebody, you know, all the bar scenes, you have a bunch of rough and tumbles, people going over the top of tables and stuff like that, which, so in that sense, there's a lot of fun kind of, you know, bar fight action in this, which is what you're kind of expecting is bar fight action. I love when he walks onto the boat and, you know, the one guy punches him in the face and he doesn't react. You know, there's some tough guy stuff in this action that's fun. Watching him get hit by the truck and some of those things was a little weird. Whether you like the Uncanny Valley stuff or not, I think that they had a lot of fun making the action in this movie, and you could tell they had a lot of fun making the action in this movie. And some of those fights were fun to watch. I mean, they in terms of like, we're going to just break a bunch of stuff and get rowdy. They really, you really got that fun bar fight feel. And I think that more than anything, that was the kind of fun of the action in this. So for me, while the action might not be incredible, the raid action, it gets to a 2.5 just out of like, this is just fun, rowdy bar action. And, you know, the fights are pretty good, and the Conor McGregor, Jake Gyllenhaal fights are fun and have a lot of good hits and punches, and, you know, people getting up off the dirt. I love the initial fight where he's, you know, beating up the guys with the slaps. I think open palm slapping people is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
You know,
underused,
mm-hmm. underused in life.
I was happy it was more than just like the one initial slap too. Yeah. That he like fully went into
it. Yeah, yeah. He just slapped everybody. genius. So and it does it. I mean, yeah, it has some fun with it. So I don't know. I give it what it is. 2.5.
Okay. I'll go up to a 3. I think all the action. Most of the action is fun action. You know, the back half of this film has a lot of fun action moments. The McGregor, Gyllenhaal fights are good. The little fight on the boat, like, it's like our own little octagon. Who taught you shapes? Oh, killed it. Killed it. I know.
it's a great moment.
I don't know. McGregor just owned it for me. It's insanity. I don't know. 3, it was fun. It wasn't like anything amazing, but I think that, yeah, some of the smaller fights were maybe more enjoyable. Like you said, the motorcycle, you know, when he's slapping dudes and just having fun. The little stuff was a good time.
Yeah. But yeah. I also like when McGregor first walks in. McGregor had some fun in this movie. There's no doubt about that. I like when McGregor first, the Billy Magnuson comes in. He's like, who are you? He's like, I'm sent by your father. Him told me to give you something. And he's like, what? And he just punches him in the face. He's like, whoop, gotcha. I enjoy that piece of it. Yeah. It's like, this isn't personal. He just told me to punch you in the face. So I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm literally just told what to do and do it. I also don't know how he set the whole village on fire.
Neither do
he
I. Just, they just
he took a guy's coat and then it just cut down. To flaming
which
blaze,
I kind of loved.
Which is like, yes, if you're setting up a character, this guy is absolute chaos.
Right.
So you set him up.
Doesn't know how to stop a car.
In that, doesn't know. He only stops by just running into things, which is ridiculous. But anyway, sorry. No. You got the numbers yet? Do your calculations?
My calculations.
Correct.
Yes.
I'm going to go 3.
Woo! Nice.
I'm going to go 3 just because.
I lowballed.
You did.
I was between a 2.5 and a 3. It's in my notes.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I lowballed.
I think that it goes just above doing your job because, again, hats off for trying a new thing. And even if I don't agree with how the final product came out, like some of the, like you guys have said, some of those bar fight scenes are good. I enjoyed that. Like when Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal are first having their bar fight, it like gets taken behind the bar. You don't see that a lot in bar fight scenes where like somebody's just like, they're going at it in such a small limited space. I thought that was interesting. The main things that take me out, I didn't love the CGI and I'm not totally sold on Jake Gyllenhaal being that much of a badass. I understand that he's in shape, and I understand he trained a lot with a UFC fighter, and I understand that he...
Didn't he do a fighting movie?
Yeah, it's Southpaw.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but is
I didn't see it.
It wasn't that good.
Right, maybe okay. I did see it. I don't remember it.
Anyway.
Rachel McAdams is in it.
Oh, then I did see that.
Yeah.
I think that there was a lot of fun action. I mean, like, there was just a lot of parts that also sucked. Like I, at the end when they're fighting and he's about to do like the full chest stab, I don't know why we needed the like Metallica music thing.
Enter Sandman. That's his entrance music for UFC.
Was that?
Yeah, did I miss that? Yeah.
Oh, so that makes more sense. Yeah. But it just felt stupid because it was just like such a quick like. Okay, we're gonna build up to this badass, and he just kind of stabs him, and then it just ends.
In the rain, though.
You didn't, I know. You didn't like the, his piano's out of order or out of tune. Oh,
of course I did. There's so many great stupid jokes in this movie. When he
sounds good to me.
When he like rips the thing open, and he's like, "Hello, boys."
Yeah. To the band.
Yeah. They just keep playing. The bands did a lot of heavy lifting.
I didn't like how Jake Gyllenhaal landed on the speedboat in that fight scene. Like when he flies up over. Yeah. Like,
dumb.
I think there's some dumb stuff in there. There's some fun stuff. Again, It was more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be. But if this movie could have been a banger, like, if they had, like, harnessed some of that chaotic energy and made this into this movie instead of trying whatever they tried.
Yeah.
But I feel like for what it was, the action did a little bit more than its job.
Nice. I will say this. Billy Magnuson getting thrown from the boat when it crashes really gave me some like Twister Cow vibes.
Nice.
He's just like off. He's just like out of the picture, and then you cut to him on the roof, yep. And you're like, thank God for thatched roofs, right? Am I right?
Well, that'll lead us into the guts, and I'll lead us off on this. Please. I think
you're high.
I am. If they'd have had a director who had more of a vision than I want to try out new camera stuff, I think you could have had fun if they'd have known what this movie was. And I think that maybe is your big issue, is Doug Liman didn't know that this is a dumb movie and thought he was making something interesting that is actually quite dumb. Whereas Gyllenhaal seemingly understood he was making a dumb movie. And I think there were too many wires crossed.
Here's because you're right on it. Do you think, because to me, some of this feels like, and to your earlier point, which is Doug Liman just trying to do something with camera. Do you think Doug Liman was like, this is a really stupid movie, but I can try my camera tricks on it and I can do this. They'll let me do whatever I want to do. And I can just kind of pay attention to the parts I like and they'll fill in the rest. And so he knows it's a dumb movie. So he just goes in like, I have new technology that I'm trying out. Let me try it. And then when I get a movie I actually care about, you know, I'll have it kind of like tweaked and good to go. And I'll have my processes.
I would say yes.
We can't really speak to that because we don't know.
But he was the guy who got real pissed off at Amazon because it wasn't going to theaters.
Well, that's just revenue. That's just money.
I mean, but, you know, Gyllenhaal said he entered into it. I think he thought he made something. And maybe he's just proud of the camera stuff.
That could just be him having a boner for his new technique.
Well, and maybe that specific stuff looks better on a big screen. I don't think so, but. I don't know. I've never seen it on a big screen. But
he made this movie and then now is seeing that there is a return to cinema happening.
Like they started it before.
Or like whatever. Yeah. Like maybe now that he's seen the success of Top Gun or Dune or these things that are going back into the theaters.
He thinks he's got a Top Gun or a Dune.
He's got a Top Gun on his hands. Maybe. I mean, I'm just saying I'm not a male making action movies with like a budget and like my Spidey sense is just saying he's got a boner for his tech.
He definitely has a boner for his tech. For
feels
sure.
Like he is more important than maybe he is.
I think that's definitely true. I gave this a 3.5. It could come down to a 3, but I did have fun. It's so dumb, but I did have fun in the fun scenes. If I could just get rid of the unnecessary storyline. I think I'd, I'm going to, you know what? Three. I'll go up to a 3.5 when they cut out the unnecessary story. 3 is where I land on my gut.
I will go gut next. I would give this a 2.5 gut. It's a 2.5. It does its job in terms of what a popcorn movie should be. It's not an exceptional one. It's not one that I'm like, oh, heck yeah. But I was also still entertained while I watched it the second time. There was stuff in there that I was still like, oh, yeah, that still works. But, yeah, I mean, it's a 2.5 at best gut. You know, I don't want to be giving away the gut like that. You know what I mean? Like, the gut's too precious to me. I can't be just throwing it away on this Roadhouse. So 2.5 gut. I could go down to a 2 gut, you know, really easily. So that's where I'm at.
I am going to go down to a 2 for gut. I do think that there is some redeeming stuff. I didn't really know where to land on this movie, though, because I mean, obviously going into it with the feedback I got from you guys was, you're probably not going to like this, but there's some stuff in there, maybe. And I went into it probably watching the old Roadhouse first and immediately following that with this one affects my gut pretty hard, because if you go in seeing what the original subject matter is to this, it's a hard transition. There is definitely some enjoyable moments in this movie. I don't know. I will never probably recommend this to anybody, and I may never watch this again, but I've seen it twice now.
Okay, fair enough.
I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
I
would recommend select scenes.
I don't think I have that in me.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, our totals pre-gut. Will with a 6.5, Nora with a 7, and me with an 8. And post-gut, Will and Nora both a 9, and me an 11. You're welcome, Roadhouse.
All right, let's talk next week.
Next week, we're going to go back to the theaters.
Nice. Yeah. We're going to watch
Kong X Godzilla.
Yeah.
Is it Kong?
Or is it Godzilla and Kong?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's the movie with the big monsters that's probably not going to be that good. Or will be awesome. I don't know.
I have a pretty good feeling.
Okay, fair enough.
That it's going to be horrible.
It's okay. Not going to be good.
Godzilla times Kong, the new empire is what
the
it's called.
The new empire.
Yeah.
There you go. So
there is nothing else coming out. So this is, that's all we're saying.
Yeah.
We're not telling you we're going to love this movie. We're not even really telling you to listen. We're just saying.
That's what's next week.
That's what's happening.
I mean, if it is good, tune in and we'll let you know.
Yeah. Kate, I'll tell you.
It could be a good bit of fun. Could be a good bit of fun. There is the oven in the oven.
Exit on the student driver, coconuts in your passenger seat side.
Good enter exit on the roadhouse side. Land on the roadhouse.
I don't want to do
nope.
That.
Nope. Okay, sorry. Action Freaks with Will and Ian. We don't have to do it.
We can't do this on air, guys.
We can cut this.
All
you can cut this.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like also maybe you guys should watch a little bit of Monarch to lead up to this, right? So we can have a real
Monarch,
conversation about.
Maybe we'll just do a big Kong Godzilla episode. Next week, Kong Godzilla, whole new world of monsters.
New empire.
Yeah, whatever.
Baby monkeys.
Tune in.